Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Eric Smith, and this is the Week 5 Sit Start Podcast. Can't believe it's Week 5 already. I'm excited to be here with Drew DeLuca, as always, to compare his rankings versus expert consensus rankings, get an idea of some players he's higher on, lower than, all that good stuff. We've got a lot of injury news this week, Drew. I think I said it the week before, but I just kept scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Some players coming back from injury, but yeah, feels like half the league is did not practice on Wednesday. So we've got a lot to work through here, but I'm excited to go through it all. So, Drew, how are you doing? I know you got the Phillies on over your shoulder, so best of luck there. But what else is going on in your world?
Oh, it's great, man. This is a great time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. The Eagles are 4-0. They don't even look that good, and they're still undefeated, which is pretty cool. Not everybody's happy about that. You know, Mike Schmidt once said that the Philadelphia is the only city in the world where you can experience the thrill of victory and the agony reading about it the next day. So a lot of people are upset with the defense and Jalen Hurts going to hit on all cylinders and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But we're still 4-0. The Eagles are still 4-0, which is pretty awesome. And then the Phillies just getting it done in the playoffs here is pretty awesome. So at the moment, they're up 2-0, and it's pretty exciting. So I took my boys to a game earlier this year after the Trey Turner standing ovation. We're at the very next game where we hit that home run. So it's just kind of cool for my boys to kind of be there from the start of really when they really got it going this year. So it's been a fun ride. So excited for them, excited for the Eagles, excited for week five. So despite the myriad of injuries here. So why don't you go ahead and run through that for us. So you started with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, we haven't completely lost Drew. He has a Philadelphia Phillies hat on, but he does have a football-themed T-shirt on. So he's still here for football, but maybe just his head is with the Phillies right now. So, yeah, let's get into the news here, though. Cooper Kupp is limited in practice on Wednesday. Sean McVay says he's actually not limited, though. So whatever that means, that's some classic coach speak there. But it kind of sounds like Cooper Kupp might play this week. Drew, if you've got Kupp on your roster and he's out there, I'm assuming you're going to start him against the Eagles this week?
Yeah, I think it's a big if. I'd be surprised if he plays this week. Coming off, they opened the 21-day window today, I believe. So that's a tall order, I think, to come back that soon. But you know, it is Cooper Kupp, and so if he's out there and he's healthy enough to play, you know, I would take 80% of a Cooper Kupp over just about anybody else in the National Football League. So yeah, if he's out there, I'm playing him, and we'll talk about what that means for other wide receivers on the Rams a little bit later on in the show.
Yep. All right. Next up, Javonte Williams, Denver Broncos running back, did not practice Wednesday with a hip injury. We don't have a whole lot of information on this one. Have the Broncos issues this year given you enough pause where if Javonte Williams does play, you would bench him against the Jets? Or are you still rolling out Javonte if he's active this week?
First of all, you're very kind to say that the Broncos have issues. There's a lot of other things that we could say about the Broncos. But I'm hesitant to roll him out no matter what, just because we know he's not 100%, even if he does play. The Jets are not exactly a pushover defense, to say the least. And that Denver Broncos offense is definitely dysfunctional. So he's probably a sit for me no matter what. So I'm not really if I'm a Javonte Williams owner, if I got shares of him, I'm probably looking elsewhere if I possibly can to fill that running back two slot in my lineup.
Yeah, I held back a little bit just because it's actually been the defense this year for the Broncos. It's been a disaster, so kind of shocking there. But we will get into the backup running backs for the Broncos a bit more in the running back section, so stay tuned for that. But maybe sit Javonte Williams this week if he does play. Not a great matchup. All right, Kyren Williams, the kind of breakout Los Angeles Rams running back, did not practice Wednesday. Coach Sean McVay says it's only precautionary, so he probably shouldn't worry too much here, but I just thought it was worth bringing up now at this point of the season. Is it time to start questioning like the insane usage that Kyren Williams is getting? Is he going to hold up to the length of the season getting all this work? Is he maybe a sell high candidate in fantasy football? What do you think about Kyren Williams? I know personally, if I have a running back that is being used like this, I just hold on to them as long as possible. Maybe that's a mistake, but I'm kind of starting to worry, will Kyren Williams actually hold up to this whole season?
This is funny because I've seen dueling takes on Kyren Williams this week, and both of them have given me pause. And I think kind of the prevailing theory out there is he's a sell high candidate because he's not kind of built for this kind of volume over a long haul over a 17 game season. And I think to your point, though, on the other side of it, I mean, he is getting that volume. And as long as that's continuing to happen, who else is getting that kind of volume in the NFL these days? Very few people are. And he's being he's productive on top of it. And he's a you know, he's getting it done in the passing game as well. I think it was Drew Davenport from Football Guys. He had a tweet out a couple of day or two ago and said, hey, listen, look around. Who else is there? Who are they going to give the ball to if they don't give it to Kyren Williams? I mean, was it Ronnie Rivers, maybe? I mean, who's maybe a shell of what Kyren Williams is? We don't know that, but he's certainly not, you know, somebody that's going to make us say, oh, my goodness, you know, we got to worry about Kyren Williams because Ronnie Rivers is hanging around there. So now I said that I say that, of course, Ronnie Rivers is going to go for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. We can stand that. But I kind of feel like as long as he's productive, you got to play him. So I think it's good to have a backup plan. I think if you can sell high on Kyren Williams, I think you definitely do that. Because if you're especially if you can get a guy that you're feeling better about down the second half of the season, this is a quintessential sell high situation on him. So, I mean, if you can't find a value for him, you're not willing to, no one's willing to pay up what, you know, what he's been producing as, or at least something in the neighborhood, then I'm fine with kind of holding him and riding this as long as it lasts.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe if you can kind of spin him into a true wide receiver one and then pick up a running back, you know, kind of to replace him, that's an RB2, maybe he's buying low on them. I could see that. But yeah, I'm going to take this and enjoy it while I can for the most part. If someone wants to blow me away, that's fine. But yeah, last week, 59 snaps for Kyren Williams, 23 for Ronnie Rivers. Those are the only running backs getting snaps. So still a ton of usage ahead for Kyren Williams. So I don't mind holding, but maybe field some offers, I guess. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get to Pat Freiermuth, Pittsburgh Steelers tight end. He did not practice with a hamstring, and according to their beat writers, it looks like he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. I'm not sure if he's even worth a spot on your bench at this point, Drew. He's been held under 8 receiving yards in 3 of 4 games. I know it's a small sample, and tight end is horrible, but are you clogging up a spot on your bench with Pat Freiermuth right now?
Yeah, I think you absolutely are. So if he's not playing, okay. And he's not producing on top of that, I'm looking elsewhere. So we'll talk about some guys that are still on waivers in the majority of leagues who are producing circles around Pat Freiermuth right now and who are getting much more consistent volume. So I think he's a guy you can let go in most formats.
Yep, I agree. Also, it doesn't help that his quarterback, Kenny Pickett, is practicing with a knee brace. It sounds like he might give it a go Sunday. It's either going to be him or Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, though. Probably not a great situation, injured Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. So now they have injuries at tight end. Deontay Johnson's still a game or two out. Quarterback injury now. Like, this offense is trending total wrong direction, and there wasn't much room to go down. So I think maybe we'll get to some, I don't know, some George Pickens questions later, but like, sit everyone other than Pickens, and he's what, like a wide receiver 3, maybe?
Yeah, I think Najee and Jaylen Warren are matchup dependent as far as what the expectations are. I think Najee gets enough volume where I think he's still going to be a running back 2 or flex most weeks. I think Warren in a negative game script, I think as a guy who caught all 6 targets thrown his way, that's nothing to sneeze at a position where it's hard to find production. So if he's still getting a handful of carries, you know, 8 to 10 carries, Jaylen Warren, and he's going to get 4 to 6 receptions a game, I mean, that's worth a running back 2 or flex worthy situation. Yeah, but it's a bit of a mess, I think. With the offensive line's not good either. So you have the skill position injuries, a bad offensive line on top of it that's kind of making it even harder for, you know, the leftovers really to produce anything. So the Steelers are just kind of a sad situation at the moment.
Yep. Up next, Amon-Ra St. Brown did not practice Wednesday with an abdomen injury. He played through it last week. We don't really know if there's a chance he misses or not, but I just thought it was worth getting out ahead of it and checking in. Do you have any interest in any of the other Lions pass catchers if Amon-Ra St. Brown were to miss? I know Jameson Williams is slated to come back. It feels a little too early to get on the Jameson Williams hype in the week 1 when he's back. I feel like they're going to ease him in. So is it kind of Amon-Ra St. Brown or bust here for the Lions?
Well, I think Dustin Lucky did the write-up, and that'll be coming in the sit-start piece that comes out tomorrow for our massive sit-start effort that we put out every week. And Dustin mentioned the fact that he expected Jameson Williams to also kind of be eased in, and made a good point about you know, Jameson being the burner that he is, you know, kind of really taking the coverage outside the 20s and really opening things up in the middle for Sam Laporta, who has been pretty consistent this year. He's been pretty awesome. So I think if I'm on Ross St. Brown misses and Jameson Williams is out there, I think we could see a healthy dose of Sam Laporta at tight end for sure. We'll see. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Jameson Williams, caught a long touchdown, honestly, because I think he has two touches in his NFL career, right? And both of them have gone for 40 yards. That's not sustainable, obviously, but it just shows you that he can be productive even on limited touches, even if it's only, four or five targets or even two or three. He could still catch a 60-yard touchdown, and there's 12 or 13 points for you. So,
yeah, Sam Laporta is a good call. That's more of a role that's going to fill in for Amon Ross St. Brown than Jameson Williams. Williams could have a lot of snaps, catch some long touchdowns, whatever. He could have a big game, but he's not going to fill the Amon Ross St. Brown role. So that's not what you're getting with Jameson Williams. So don't expect that. Kind of mentioned somewhere, and I took offense to that. It's a different type of player. So Jameson's a big threat. Think Marvin Mims if you're going to start Jameson Williams, I think.
Yeah, that's a very fair thing. There is no replacement for Amon Ross St. Brown on the Lions roster right presently if he goes down. Right. So I guess maybe Josh Reynolds might see a little more action. I'm not sure how exciting that's supposed to make us, but he may be a flex worthy option if Amon Ross can't play. To getting to the heart of kind of that original question, but that's that. So what about Zay Jones? He's limited in practice, right?
Yeah, he was limited with his knee injury, so that means he's on his way back. He's missed a couple weeks. I just kind of thought, it's a step in the right direction. Maybe he's worth an add now if he was dropped. He had a really nice week one. I believe he had no catches but six targets in week two. Might be worth checking your waiver wire. I don't know. Zay Jones, I think there's a role in this offense for him in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he before he went down, he looked like the number two option. We thought a lot of people thought it was gonna be Christian Kirk, and Christian Kirk has blown up ever since Zay Jones went down. It looks like Trevor Lawrence can't support both of them, and Calvin Ridley looks like and Evan Ingram looks like two of those guys at a time are gonna kind of eat, and that's just gonna be how that is. But Zay Jones, when he's healthy, has produced, and he's made some sensational catches. And he clearly has the trust of Trevor Lawrence. So if he's out there and you believe long term in the Jacksonville Jaguars offense and Trevor Lawrence's ability to kind of take a step and turn it around and finish strong like he did last year, then I think Zay Jones is absolutely worth a bench spot.
Yep. Totally agree. I think the arrow's pointed up on the Jaguars offense. Honestly, they've just had some weird drops and stuff holding them back. And I would expect eventually this to turn around a little bit more. So, all right, next up, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals quarterback, had a full practice on Wednesday. He said that Sunday was the best he's felt coming out of a game all year. I'm not sure how much I believe that after watching last week's performance. Maybe sunny days ahead, Drew, but I'm not ready to trust this yet. So just because he had a full practice, I'm not ready to trust Joe Burrow is back to old Joe Burrow.
Well, if you're not ready to trust Joe Burrow as a Cincinnati Bengals fan, then I'm not ready to trust Joe Burrow either. And that makes me nervous because he was my first overall pick in Scott Fishbowl. And my second overall pick is out for the season, Nick Chubb. So the fact that I'm still hanging around the middle of the pack with hope is a miracle with the way that the season's gone with no Nick Chubb and Joe Burrow being where he is. So I don't understand why the Bengals didn't just shut him down for a game or two. Think about the long haul, what this team can be. I just kind of feel like they're just never really giving him a chance to get right. So I'm worried about Joe Burrow every week that this continues. I kind of would feel better if they would just shut him down for a game or two and let him rest up and let him heal. And that would make me feel better. And as a Bengals fan, I'm not sure where you stand on that. Looking at that quarterback room, I think I have a guess. I'm definitely nervous from a fantasy perspective. What I want to do with Burrow is keep him on the bench and then try to find a guy like CJ Stroud or somebody out there that's producing that I can put out there in good matchup situations until Burrow gets the ship right, and then cut that guy loose and then go riding back with Joe.
Yeah, I could talk for a while about how this was handled. I don't think it's a real cut and dry situation of the Bengals are right or wrong. I think it's kind of complicated, and it's going to take more than just a week off for him to heal. So they're just stuck in this weird spot right now. You just got to hope he keeps getting out of these games without a setback. And the bye week comes up after this week against the Cardinals and then next week against the Seahawks. They've got a bye. So if he can get through the next 3 weeks without a setback, maybe we're in good shape. I think it's going to be a little limited until then. So more AFC North injury news. Both Odell Beckham Jr. and Rashad Bateman returned to practice on Wednesday. I guess we'll still see if they actually play, but I don't think I'm using a roster spot on either of these guys, Drew, until I see something on the field first. Obviously in a deep league, it's worth a shot because these guys have a ton of talent, but I'm just not ready to buy in yet.
Yeah. I mean, this is a, you know, a Lamar Jackson team here. And frankly, Zay Flowers is the guy to own. So Zay Flowers is the guy in the Ravens running back room who is of interest to me. So I don't feel it from either OBJ or Bateman. They need to show me something before I'm willing to spend a roster spot on what is at best a third option in the passing game behind Andrews and Flowers.
Yeah, and I mean, Mark Andrews has started to get rolling too, and he was injured in the preseason, so I think there's a little bit of a slow ramp up to start the season. So yeah, I totally agree. It's Mark Andrews, it's Zay Flowers. That's who you want. There's still some upside here, but yeah, I would not cut anyone of note to pick up either of them right now. Just let them have a good week, and then you can decide if you want to use a waiver wire claim on them. So, okay, let's end on a high note. There are actually a ton more players we could have highlighted here. Like, I think Mike Evans had an MRI, but they got a bye this week. And there's a ton we glossed over, but let's end on a high note. Saquon Barkley practiced Wednesday for the New York Giants. Drew, the New York Giants desperately need Saquon Barkley. So I assume if he's out there, they're going to use him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was an ugly, ugly situation the other day, so the other night, so it's a Monday night. So I have friends who are Giants fans that I work with. I couldn't even look them in the eye. Just kind of, I felt bad for them. Like, I almost wanted to hug them. You know, it's like, you watch that. It was 10 or 11 sacks. It's just, there's just no hope on that field right now. And it was just an awful, abysmal performance. So they need Barkley in a big way. I kind of feel like he's the engine of that offense. And without him, they really don't have any hope because Daniel Jones is just not taking that next step that, like, we hoped that he would.
Yes. And the offensive line is not helping. So it's, no, I don't know how confident I am in Barkley coming back and producing week one, but if you got him, you probably need to roll him out there because he'll get some usage.
Wait, do the Giants have an offensive line? I'm confused. I didn't see one. Oh, I guess, sorry.
There were some clips from that game where three linemen untouched all at once through the line. I was like, whew, it's hard to be a good quarterback in that.
Yeah, the strip sack fumble was just hard to watch. He just kind of saw the whole, it's just a horde of people just chasing after him, and he knew he had no chance, so.
Yep, and that's Seattle's not exactly known for their ferocious defense either, so it's a concern. Yeah. All right, let's get on to running backs here. We're going to start with some players that Drew is higher on than consensus. We're going to kick it off with my Cincinnati Bengals, who we briefly touched on. Drew, you've got Joe Mixon all the way up at RB8 this week at Arizona. ECR still has him at RB12. I'm actually kind of surprised there's not more panic here. I guess it's just state of the running back position, but still optimistic with Mixon, even with the Bengals' offensive struggles. Like, any thoughts here on Mixon being a top 10 running back?
Well, I expect Mixon to get a ton of volume while they try to figure out Joe Burrow, how to keep him upright. And then with no Higgins out there, I can just kind of feel like they're going to be leaning on him a lot more, perhaps even more in the passing game. I think we're looking at Tyler Boyd as, you know, the beneficiary if something happens with T. Higgins, or, you know, even if T is on a snap count. But I think we might see even more of Mixon out of the backfield in the passing game. So I think we're kind of underselling him, his contributions potentially there. There's really nobody that stepped up in that secondary role the one that Samaje Perine was in last year. There's really nobody of consequence that's really doing much of anything there. So I can see Mixon really kind of exceeding expectations there. And look at the opponents, the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, it's not exactly – it's not like we're facing, you know, the New England Patriots or the San Francisco 49ers or, you know, a tough defense or even the Tennessee Titans with their staunch run defense. So I kind of feel like he can definitely get it done against the Cardinals, and he can hurt you a couple of different ways. So I'm confident in Mixon as an RB1 this week, and I have no problems with him at RB8.
Yeah, Cardinals have given up the third most points to fantasy running backs this year, and that's with them playing pretty well and having some upsets here. So, yeah, pretty good matchup for Mixon. He played all but seven of the running back snaps last week, and some of the Bengals' shortcomings on offense is really showing itself with Joe Burrow not at superhuman mode. They've got nothing at tight end. I mean, Irv Smith is maybe back this week, but he wasn't much anyway. Not much after the big three at wide receiver. No third down back, so... Yeah, especially if Higgins can't play, Joe Mixon is going to get a lot of touches here. So I agree. At first, I was taken aback by the ranking, but yeah, Mixon should get a lot of volume. So I'll concede that one. All right. Next up, let's get to this Colts backfield. Just in general, I mean, you have both of them higher than consensus. I suspect you like the just kind of the situation here, and you're going to take whichever one is active or, you know, depending on Jonathan Taylor here. But you got Taylor, RB16, Moss, RB23, Zach Moss, that is. I'm just curious on your thoughts how this Colts backfield shakes out. Jonathan Taylor was a full participant in practice on Wednesday, so it looks like this is going to come down to his relationship with the team and whether he's in game shape, not so much this injury, if it was even real. So what do you think about this Colts backfield? It's going to be tough to determine week one.
Yeah, I mean, I can completely flip this around as the news cycle churns. So if Taylor sits, I can move Moss up, probably not much higher than where he is right now, actually, kind of hedging a little bit in a positive direction for both of them at the moment. But the way I look at it, Zach Moss is no Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, if he's a full participant in practice, that tells to me that physically he's where he needs to be to perform. And that when Jonathan Taylor is healthy enough to be a full participant in practice and perform in the National Football League, the sky's the limit. So I have him at RB16 now, and I think that's pretty fair if he starts and if he plays, and that might even be too low if that's the case. So he's coming in with fresh legs, that's one thing. So yeah, even if he's on a snap count, even if he only sees 15 to 20 touches instead of 20 to 30 like he can handle, then I think he's more than capable of finishing as an RB2 or better. So I will say this, if Taylor does play, I have zero interest in Zach Moss this week because I have him at RB23. But if Taylor does play, he's going to be dropping probably well below consensus. It's a tough matchup, Tennessee. Yeah. And I believe in Jonathan Taylor, the talent. But I don't know that Zach Moss is going to be able to put up numbers against Tennessee. I think if either of these guys has the ability to do that, it's going to be Jonathan Taylor.
Yep, I would agree. And like you said, tough matchup, but RB16, that's still RB2, production. Mm-hmm. I think we can get that in a tough matchup against Tennessee. So, just keep an eye on that. I mean, as far as I know, Jonathan Taylor doesn't have any reason to hate the coaching staff, and the coaching staff, I'm sure, wants to use him. So I would say if he's active, it's all systems go. So keep an eye on that one. All right, next up, Jahmyr Gibbs, the rookie running back for the Detroit Lions, plays against the Panthers at home this week. You have him RB18. ECR has him RB23. Drew, you clearly have not been on Twitter enough this week. We are supposed to be in full-blown panic mode with Jahmyr Gibbs. So come on, get back on the internet. Stop watching baseball. We're supposed to hate Jahmyr Gibbs this week.
Yeah, sorry, I missed that memo. There's been a lot going on here, but I apologize for that. But I mean, I guess they have him as a low end running back too, and I've got him as a pretty solid, strong running back too. Way I look at it is that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to make his fantasy value is going to come through the air, and if you're looking at a situation in which Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be limited, or maybe even not even play. And we didn't talk about it before we talked about Laporta, but Gibbs stands to reasonably have a role in kind of a possession target kind of a situation for short and immediate targets. So it could be a situation. We saw Alvin Kamara have 13 catches in his first game the other week. I'm not saying Gibbs is going to do that, but it wouldn't shock me for him to have half that many. And if he does that, then he's definitely justifying RB2 production. So I think I don't know how many times we're going to see David Montgomery post three touchdowns in a game. I do think that Gibbs is going to get more work as the season goes on, as he becomes more comfortable in the offense and learns the different pass protection schemes and everything else. I think it's a matter of time before Gibbs just kind of starts to take steps, even if they're small steps in the right direction. So I do think that even though Carolina is a solid team, I do think Gibbs has enough, I think, to put up running back two numbers.
Yeah, and Carolina has given up the fourth most points to opposing running backs this year, so good matchup. He played 28 snaps to David Montgomery's 53 last week, but he ran 14 routes to Montgomery's 16, so they're clearly using him as a pass catcher. He had five targets, so Gibbs, he hasn't gotten quite to where we want him to be already, but it's hard to imagine this isn't going to trend up. So I agree with you. He's going to bust some big plays at some point. They'll get him a touchdown. I would keep starting him. You don't want to leave him on the bench. You're going to hate it if he's on the bench for his big breakout game. So
yeah, and five targets on 14 routes is pretty telling. I mean, that's pretty solid. That's pretty good. That's yard per target territory that we're looking for there.
Yep, and he could help fill in if Amon-Ra St. Brown is hurt or limited. So that's certainly another option in the passing game. So, okay, let's get on to the New York Jets backfield. You're actually higher, just five spots higher, but higher on both Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook this week. They are playing the Denver Broncos in Denver. So that's probably a lot of this, a nice matchup here. But you're supposed to be way higher than this on Breece Hall here. Like, Breece Hall is going to break out. This is the week. I don't know. You obviously haven't been on Twitter, but this is the breakout week for Breece Hall. So RB 25 you have, Matt. I think you need to raise him up because everyone knows Breece Hall is breaking out this week.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, these numbers came out before the Breece Hall was not on a snap count news broke earlier today, and before I saw just how poor Cook's efficiency metrics have been over the last week or two. So this, I've actually just changed this before we went live and record this. I've moved Breece all the way up to running back 18, which is actually a little bit above consensus, a little bit better than consensus. And I have Cooked. I dropped him down to running back 40, which looks actually it's right in line with consensus. So I actually moved him lower than that, but I still freshly remember what the Dolphins did to this Denver defense, the running backs. So I think if there's a chance for Dalvin Cook to have a respectable game, then it might be in a situation like this against a team that gave up 8 touchdowns to 2 running backs in one game and led a rookie who hadn't done anything previously run for 200 yards against them. So I don't have a whole lot of hope for Dalvin Cook the way he's looked. He's looked kind of cooked, actually. If you don't have in a situation where there's bye weeks, someone's probably dropping him. We actually talked about Dalvin Cook last night. I was in Twitter space with Dalton Del Don, and he named him as a guy without hesitation that he would jettison from a roster just because of how poor he's been. But I think this might, if you're desperate, I can see plugging him in as a running back too. If your team's been decimated with injuries and you have nowhere else to turn, it's possible he could fall into the end zone and get a cheapo touchdown and maybe, a handful of yards. So, I'm definitely higher on Breece hearing that he's not a snap count stuff. That to me is Robert Saleh say, listen, I'm seeing what you're seeing, and it's time. I saw a pulse from Zach Wilson, and we might actually be able to do something this year. And in order for that to happen, we need Breece Hall to kind of to unlock him and let him be himself. So I'm encouraged by that. I'm still cautiously optimistic at running back 18. We know that if fully healthy, Breece Hall has overall running back 1 upside. I don't know that he's going to get anywhere near that this week, it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up with a running back 1 finish if they're being serious and they're going to take the training wheels off entirely.
Yeah, and I was kidding about the ripping you for being lower on Breece Hall because I think cautiously optimistic is exactly where I would be. Just because Zach Wilson looked good last week does not necessarily mean that it's just going to be an upward trajectory from here on out. So I think we could certainly see him turn back into what he was before. This offense isn't moving the ball, and then we're frustrated with the three-way committee again. So I'm hoping the Broncos make this work out. Last week, Breece Hall, 26 snaps, 18 for Michael Carter, 15 for Dalvin Cook. So he ran way more routes than the rest. He got some carries. It's trending in the right direction, but it doesn't always just go in a straight line. So I feel good about Breece Hall. I think he's got some upside this week, but if you're loaded at the position, I wouldn't mind sitting him on the bench again and just wait until you see it. But if it's going to happen, this might be the week. So I'm on board with RB18. That sounds about right. So, okay, let's get on to another backfield here. Green Bay Packers, and this is actually going to be in the section of running backs you are lower on. ECR has Aaron Jones at RB15, AJ Dillon at RB34, and you are 4 spots lower on Jones and 9 spots lower on Dillon. So even a matchup here against the Raiders, you are not really with consensus on these Packers running backs. So what are your thoughts here in Green Bay?
Well, Jones has yet to prove to me that he's fully healthy. So I think last week was his first game back and he was used minimally. And until he shows me that he's, even close to what we expect Aaron Jones to be, then I'm going to be a little bit cautious on him. And I think RB19, I know it's lower than consensus, but that still might be too high. And the fact that he is where he is because he's playing against the Raiders. So that gives some pause and opportunities. If he's not on a limited snap count, he might be able to do something against an awful defense. So as for A.J. Dillon against the Saints in the first few carries of that game, looked like he was, you know, looking about ready to make some hay. And he had a couple of nice runs. Actually, he had one that was called back as a penalty. But after that, he just kind of turned back into like this Kevin Mack 2.0. I'm dating myself with that, three yards in a cloud of dust kind of a player. And he's get to prove to me really that he's capable of sustaining more than that, being a guy who's going to give me more than 30 yards on 10 touches. So is there possible for him to blow up and to have a game like that against the Raiders? Sure. Especially if something happens with Jones, where he has a setback and Dillon ends up being the beneficiary of volume. And if he ends up with 15 to 20 touches, it's quite possible that he puts together a respectable outing in which he gets, 60 or so yards and falls into the end zone. And then in which case, he's probably worth going to be rewarding anybody who starts him there. So I just don't know that I've seen enough really from Dillon in the last couple of years to make me excited about him, even in a potential smash spot for him. So that's why I'm a little bit lower than consensus. I might be too low at 43. It's possible I might creep him up a little bit there into like the high 30s. But I'm not overly excited.
No, and I mean, last week against the Lions, A.J. Dillon, 38 snaps, Aaron Jones, 20, coming back from that injury. Dillon, I think, had 11 yards rushing, so it was a very forgettable performance. So Jones should be trending in the right direction. Still start him as probably a high-end RB2, somewhere in that range. He should have a good week here, but yeah, there's certainly some re-injury concerns with Dillon just being, kind of a soft tissue injury. So, okay. Let's get on to a couple unrelated running backs, but I just kind of feel sad about both of these running backs, Drew. We've got Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Pierce. You're a few spots lower on both of them than consensus this week, 4 and 5 respectively, both RB27, RB28 range. I don't know, just which of these running backs should we be sadder about right now? Like, it's odd saying that with Damian Pierce, who actually had a decent week last week, but they've had a couple games with leads in a row where he's gotten the volume and it's still only amounted to what, like 15 fantasy points. It's not really there with Pierce. And then Stevenson, I mean, the Patriots offense is a mess right now. So which one should we be more down on, Ramondre Stevenson or Damian Pierce?
Well, I'm sadder about Ramondre, hands down for me. I expected him to be, I was super high on Ramondre coming into the season. Even when they added Ezekiel Elliott, I wasn't that phased. I looked at, well, Ezekiel Elliott, what does he have left in the tank at this point? I expected Stevenson to be a bigger fixture going forward in this offense. I don't know. I'm still kind of shocked that he's where he is. I know he's had some health issues. I think he was ill, I think, and sick 1 week and could, I think that affected his performance, but it's a long season and it's possible that he could turn things around. So I don't want to bury him and say, write his eulogy here. There's plenty of time for him to kind of get the ship right. So I still think he's flex worthy. We drafted him most likely as a running back one or maybe a running back two if you went power running back early in your drafts. But he's certainly not returning the value that we expected from him. So that definitely concerns me. As for Damian Pierce, I was actually lower on him than consensus coming in. I was concerned about game scripts for the Texans. I thought CJ Stroud was going to struggle tremendously. I thought he was a guy who was going to be stuck in a lot of negative game scripts without the tools to really maximize his value in those situations. And I expected Devin Singletary to be a guy that could end up being playing a role on passing downs and therefore having as much, if not more, value. And I've been wrong on a lot of things, except I was wrong on CJ Stroud. I was wrong on Devin Singletary. But Pierce's production, ironically, is about what I expected to this point. But I will say this, in the Twitter space with Dalton Del Don that we did yesterday, I asked him about Pierce, and he had a lot of positive things to say about him as well. So he mentioned that he is at 74% of the running back opportunities for the Texans so far. And also he's a top 10 in the NFL in red zone touches and red zone carries. So from running back. So the opportunities are there for him. And as long as CJ Stroud is continuing to sling it, I think it's going to happen for him. I really do. So as long as that offense continues to fire, it's just a matter of time, I think, before before he really kind of starts rewarding his truthers and making me look like a fool for saying, for being too low on him at the start of the season. Yeah. So he does have a tough matchup this week, though. Atlanta's been pretty solid against the run. So that's a big reason as to why I'm lower the consensus on him this week.
Yeah, and I guess he's just a real mixed bag. I mean, he had a couple stinkers the first 2 weeks of the season. Last 2 weeks, though, the offense has put up 30 points. I mean, they won 30-6 last week. And yes, Pierce has scored double-digit fantasy points both weeks. But last week, 24 carries for 81 yards in a 30-6 win. Like, he had a catch for 27. Luckily, that got him in double digits. But, man, like, that's his opportunity for his big week. And the week before, he got it to double digits with a touchdown. Wouldn't have had much production otherwise. So I just worry a little bit with Pierce that those were two dream scenarios and he did not really produce. But like you said, this offense looks good. He's getting the snaps. So it's kind of a mixed bag with Pierce. Stevenson, like, it feels like he should be what we want him to be. He's just missing the passing game work. And the coaches just aren't playing him in the passing game as much. Like, he's getting his 60 or so yards on the ground. It's just not getting those 5 or 6 catches. They played 35 snaps for Stevenson last week, 22 for Ezekiel Elliott. After there was kind of pregame news that Zeke might be the starter, that didn't really happen, but they both ran about the same amount of routes. So it's all about the pass catching with Stevenson, and it's hard to see the upside. It's just, you just have to wait for the coaches here. And that's a frustrating spot to be in from a fantasy perspective, is, are they going to give him those passing game touches?
Yeah. We're back to the Bill Belichick running back carousel thing that we thought that we were out of with Ramondre in the first place. Yeah. So that's frustrating. I mean, I think you make a good point there. And about the passing game utilization. And again, there's plenty of time for some of these things to kind of shake out down the road.
All right. Another one that you were lower on, Samaje Perine, Denver Broncos running back, home game against the Jets. You are 7 spots lower than consensus. You have him at RB 42. We talked about Javonte Williams up top. He's got a hip injury. So this kind of opens up a shot here, if he does miss the week, for Samaje Perine or Jaleel McLaughlin, the rookie for the Broncos. McLaughlin had a nice week last week. Is this kind of one of those situations where you'd like to be interested in one of these running backs, but just a matchup against the Jets is just not the right timing?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just not the defense. I think it's the right time, but not the right defense. That's the thing. I like Jaleel McLaughlin. I think he showed a lot. I think if there's a guy that's going to have a big game against the Jets of those two, it's going to be McLaughlin, just because he is the more explosive player of the two. And Perine hasn't really done much of note this season. He has yet to really kind of reward those who placed mid-round trade equity in him with really anything of substance. So whereas McLaughlin has just immediately come in and wowed people. So there's a lot of buzz about him in OTA's preseason. So it's just kind of nice to see him getting a shot. So if I have to put a chip on either of those guys, as far as from a ceiling perspective, it's probably going to be McLaughlin going forward if Javonte's injury is serious. But we'll see. I'm not overly, like I said, it's the matchup. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I got to have either one of those guys in my lineup. I'm probably sitting really all those guys, Javonte, Perine, and McLaughlin, until further notice or until there's a good matchup.
All right, let's get to our Discord sit start question of the day. This one comes from Josh. He is in a 10-team half PPR league. He can play two of these four. He can play Tank Dell, Ramondre Stevenson, Najee Harris, or Alexander Mattison. Half PPR, which two of these are you going to play, Drew?
Woof. Probably I would say Najee would be the first play there, just from a volume perspective. And I guess going back to the volume, probably Mattison. So I know Akers got a little bit of work, but I need to see more from Ramondre. I will say, maybe with Ramondre, I know that you mentioned before that that Ezekiel Elliott was supposed to be the starter and get starters reps, and that didn't happen. And that was against the Dallas Cowboys, which was Zeke's former team. So that could have been just kind of like a nod from that to that perspective, and we're going to give him starter touches and let him get in the end zone, and then we'll feed Ramondre. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, you know, trying to speak that into existence. But it's quite possible that the fact that Zeke did not get those touches as rumored is a good sign for him going forward. So I would say for me, it was probably Mattison, but I wouldn't hate going Ramondre there.
Okay, so you're going to pair Mattison with Najee. Okay.
Yeah, half PPR. If it was full, I might think about Tank Dell, but it's not. So
okay. Yeah, I can get on board with that. I think Madison would be my favorite of the plays, but yeah, they're all kind of in that RB 20 to 28 range. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those two personally. But yeah, I would start two of them over Tank Dell. So okay. It's like we have a question from JDE Falconer. He's in our Discord community. And we just need to touch on the Dolphins backfield anyway. So he wanted some of our input on the Dolphins backfield. He feels like it's a bit of a mess with A-Chain on the rise, or A-Chan. Raheem Mostert with dropsies last week and reduced snaps. Jeff Wilson returning. Salvan Ahmed returning. Lots of stuff going on here. Offensive line injuries. Like, what do you think about this backfield? Are we still starting everyone here, or are you kind of seeing this whittled down for the Dolphins?
Well, I think we have to kind of get the that game against the Broncos out of our brains a little bit, because that's not going to happen again. They're not going to score 70 points. Mostert and Achane are not going to have four touchdown games every week, especially when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle there. And Waddle hasn't really kind of come back into form just yet after that concussion, but that's coming, and I think we all know that. So I think this offense really. The identity of this offense is in that passing game with Tua and with Tyreek and with Jalen Waddle. So I think the running game is kind of not an afterthought, but I think it's an important component. But I think I don't know that we should be going as crazy as we are. I think if you're smart, you're selling high on Mostert while you can, and you're trying to get what you can for him, just because he is 31 years old. He's never going to produce like he did before. I think we've seen his apex, and try to sell while you can, if you can. So Achane, I think, is definitely somebody that's interesting to me. And I'm gonna ride Achane and Mostert out there every week as long as I can. But I think we just have to kind of level set our expectations a little bit. And I don't think Jeff Wilson is going to be an immediate threat per se. It's nice that he's back. And Salvan Ahmed is definitely not. But if something happens to Achane or Mostert, then all of a sudden Wilson becomes interesting to me. But I feel like this is a kind of a hot hand kind of a situation. And right now Mostert and Achane are the hot hands. So can they support more than one fantasy relevant? We've seen it before. We've seen it with New Orleans within the Sean Payton offense, where we had Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, both as RB1s in the same season. So it wouldn't, and there is precedent for that, but it's an outlier situation. So I think in most weeks, one of those two is probably going to be the guy that you want, and just trying to figure out which of those two emerge is going to be the tricky part.
Yeah, Giants 10th most points to opposing running backs so far, so it's a good matchup. Yeah, I agree. Achane is locked in. You've got him RB 15, it looks like. ECR has him RB 10. That's the range. I'm starting him every week. Mostert is down around RB 23 for you. You're below consensus, but I kind of see him as like a flex option. He's going to have some RB 2 weeks, some maybe even RB 1 weeks, but I kind of see him as a flex in general. And I agree. I'm not worried about Jeff Wilson. He's just always kind of been a guy, I think, for the most part. Coaches love him. They'll give him snaps. He has his spike weeks, but I just don't think he's got the talent that either, especially Achane and even Mostert at this stage of his career has. So, yeah, that's the order I'm going in, and I'm starting Achane everywhere I have him. So, nothing to push back on there. Okay, let's get to wide receiver here. We're going to start with players that Drew is higher on. We're going to start with Terry McLaurin, who you are wide receiver 12, ECR wide receiver 17. Get right game coming up here against the Bears. Sound good to you, Drew?
Yes, sir. that's exactly what it is. So, I mean, he's playing with turf toe, and he's still getting volume. He's still producing, and he's still outshining one of my darlings going into the season, which was Jahan Dotson. So it was nice to see Dotson get a touchdown, even though it was against my Philadelphia Eagles. But Terry McLaurin is still getting volume. He's still producing, and it's the Chicago Bears. So 12 might be a little high, but he's going to be around that cusp for me as a high-end wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 1 against that Bears defense.
Yeah, I was actually able to pick up Dotson in my home league. Kind of happy about that. Maybe I kind of thought I'd get the early look at him on Thursday night, and if he doesn't do anything against the Bears, I can just cut him loose again. So this should be a good get-right game for them. If they can keep Howell upright, I think they're going to have a lot of success. So, okay, let's get on to the Rams wide receiver core. We talked about Cooper Kupp possibly coming back up in the top of the show. You are higher on Kupp this week if he does play. You're higher on Tutu Atwell. You're actually a little lower on Puka Nacua. But let's just talk about this Rams receiving core. What do you think happens here if Cooper Kupp does return?
Well, I think these rankings are going to change depending on how it all plays out. And like I said before, I doubt that Kupp plays this week if his 21-day window just opened. But you never know. I mean, it's the Rams. It's Sean McVay. You have to expect the unexpected, though. But if that does happen, I think Puka and Atwell kind of rise a bit if he doesn't play. Even though it could be a long day for Matt Stafford with that Eagles defensive line coming after him. So, but whether it's Jalen Carter just blowing through the line, Hassan Reddick finally got into the act with a sack because he'd been playing with a cast on his thumb, but now that's off. So he's definitely playing a little better. You got Josh Sweat, who's solid on the outside. They're just so deep. Of course, Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis. There's such a deep defensive line, and Matt Stafford is pretty statuesque. So I worry about him. I don't know how long that offensive line is going to continue to stand on their head. So it could be ugly. It could be ugly for the Rams this week. Or it could be another situation where we have, guys like Sam Howell, putting up 30 points against the Eagles. And if Sam Howell can do it, so can Matt Stafford. So we don't really know what to expect in this game. But I will say this, that not having a nickel corner like Avante Maddox, not having Nakobe Dean in the middle, that middle of that defense is soft. So that really kind of bodes well for possession guys. And I think guys also that can burn out of the slot. And so I think Tutu, I think Puka Nacua, both solid. I have them a little lower than consensus, but consensus has them as a wide receiver 9 overall, which is high. I have them as wide receiver 13. So in either case, you're still starting him. I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to see what happens when Kupp comes back with Puka especially. So I think a lot of the chatter is that Puka is kind of making hay based on that role. Sean McVay is a kingmaker for wide receivers in that role. Once Kupp comes back, he might lose that. But it's quite possible that Kupp, being 30-some years old, could get wildly picked by Puka. We don't really know. So there's so many variables here in play. It's absolutely fascinating to me. And I'm just really excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, the Eagles are giving up the 5th most points to opposing wide receivers, so that they tend to get in shootouts, partially due to their offense, I'm sure. I will also note, you're talking about pass rush and pass blocking. Joe Noteboom did not practice on Wednesday for the Rams, their left tackle, and his backup also missed practice, so maybe some offensive line issues going on here. I do think there's some risk starting Tutu Atwell or Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp's first game back, but I think there's been enough good here that I'd still feel pretty good about rolling them out there. So I wouldn't overthink it. Atwell and Nacua have been good. Keep playing them until they give you a reason to think otherwise. But like you said, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this week, and we'll have a lot more information once Kupp's out there for a full snap share. So stay tuned. Okay, let's get on very briefly here. T. Higgins for the Bengals. You are higher on him than consensus. Consensus clearly has him, not expecting him to play, but you have him at wide receiver 31. So you're saying he's kind of a flex play. Can we really trust him if he does play? I'm sure everyone remembers that game where he ghosted us last year, played like one snap. He didn't practice Wednesday with his rib injury. Can we really trust him even as a flex? And then do you have any interest in Tyler Boyd if Higgins does not play?
Yeah, that's fair. We've seen this. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So yeah, I'll definitely feel foolish if Higgins comes out and does that again, where he plays the snap and then sits. But I have him at wide receiver 31, which basically says, hey, he's a wide receiver 3 or a flex option, and he was drafted in most leagues as a wide receiver 2 or maybe even a soft 1. I think if he's out there with a flak jacket, he's going to play. I don't know. I don't know that we can expect the T. Higgins that we drafted. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. If he's hurt, and with Joe Burrow's situation being what it is. So yeah.
I'm not really that excited about Boyd if Higgins can't play. I think Boyd becomes mildly interesting, and I'm going to emphasize the word mildly there, in a guy that can come in and get maybe 5 or 6 catches and maybe 50 to 55 yards. So he looks like I think he'd be a nice high floor guy to kind of plug in there, but I don't see ceiling at all for Tyler Boyd, not with this offense, the passing game being what it is right now. So, but I think Higgins has the ability, and he's such a gamer and such a tough player, and he's physical enough. I think that if he can get in that game, I can see him, you know, catching a touchdown in the back corner of the end zone. I can see him, you know, maybe if he got 5 catches, I think it's much more likely that he ends up with a touchdown than Boyd. So I definitely have the reason I'm entertaining this notion at all is because, again, it's the Cardinals. It's a soft matchup. Yeah. And I think he's able to, you know, in a limited capacity, post a better showing than he would against other opponents.
Yeah, I agree with that for the most part. Arizona's been a fairly good defense, giving up fancy points to receivers, 11th fewest, but they've also faced Washington, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the 49ers. So not exactly major wide receiving cores. I don't know, just so far this year, those receiving cores have struggled a little bit. So I think it's generally chase or bust right now with Burrow struggling. But I totally get putting Higgins in your flex if you need to. So I don't think I would probably make the move for Tyler Boyd. I just think this offense is struggling too much. Like I said, it's Chase. It's Joe Mixon. Not much else right now until this offense turns things around. So that's where I'm at for the Bengals. So that's most of the receivers on the higher end. Do you have any long shots you want to bring up this week? If someone's really desperate or in a deep league, maybe someone who could pay off is a little further down the rankings.
Yeah, we talked about Jamison Williams earlier. Again, I don't want to put our expectations too high in his first game back, but he's not coming off an injury, right? He's coming off a suspension. So sometimes we have this kind of default programming in our brains of, oh, it's his first game back after a long absence. We need to make sure we pump the brakes on him because he's probably not going to be ready. Well, he's fully healthy. He's over a year now removed from that injury that limited him last year. And when he did play last year, like I said before, he had 2 touches. Both of them went for 40-plus yards. So he was explosive last year when he did touch the ball. So I have no reason to believe that he can't do the same this year when touching the football. And so even if he is on a limited snap count, there's potential that he could do some serious damage. Even if he only gets 3 to 5 targets, one of them goes to the house and you're sitting pretty. And speaking of super efficient on limited touches, Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims is consensus wide receiver 52. I have him wide receiver 44. I don't know what the Broncos are waiting for. This guy is on a per touch basis the most efficient player in football, and it's not even close. So we heard Bryce, Breece Hall's getting the training wheels taken off. He's not a snap count anymore. I just want him to just, what are you waiting for, Denver? I'm not sure if you've noticed how your season is going, but what do you have to lose by putting Marvin Mims out there? Even if you just make him a decoy and run routes and open up the rest of the offense for everyone else, I don't understand what they're doing and why they're not using Marvin Mims more. He has game-breaking ability. The defense has to respect him every time he steps on the field. So I just kind of feel like it's only a matter of time before they kind of wake up, smell the proverbial coffee, and start giving him higher snap shares and higher target volumes.
Yep, he is currently battling with Brandon Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey for snaps right now behind Sutton and Judy. So ran about half the routes of Sutton of Judy. So he's the third receiver, but he's still got some work to do. But it has been trending up. So maybe this is the week they fully unleash Mims. Like you said, they definitely need it. So okay,
I just went on the record that you are a true professional and you said that with a straight face that he's sharing snaps with Lil Jordan Humphrey and Brandon Johnson. You said it with a straight face. That's impressive. So
I'm sure they're great guys. I'm sure they're great locker room presences, and I would never say anything bad about them. So, sure. All right. Sure. Yeah, just bombing out to Mims, though. Let's get this over with, guys. Come on. Okay, let's get to some receivers you're lower on. Let's start out with Michael Pittman, a home matchup against Tennessee. You're 5 spots lower than consensus. You've got him at wide receiver 19. Should we be more concerned with Pittman's 1 catch week 4? That was a bummer, or more encouraged by the 11 targets a game he had previously? Like, it was last week was an outlier, but that is a concerning statistic when it's a 1 catch week.
Yeah. Well, and that was also what it, that was our boy Anthony Richardson's first game back, right? After at the concussion. So and he comes back, and then Mitt Pittman immediately posts a stinker. So he was hitting them pretty regularly before that, right? So, but that's the thing, though. I expect Michael Pittman to be consistently inconsistent all year with a rookie quarterback who likes to run, and now with Jonathan Taylor coming back into the fold. So I don't know that he's going to be getting the volume that we want. I think he'll get the a lion's share of that target, but again, a big piece of a small pie is still a small piece. So that's part of it. And I don't know that when Jonathan Taylor comes back, that Pittman's going to be the guy who the offense runs through anymore. So we'll see. So it's going to be interesting. I just feel like we have to kind of pump the brakes a little bit with expectations as far as the ceiling, I think, is going to be there from a target perspective, but the volume might not always be. And that's the problem. And I think our ER, I think ECR 14 is high for a guy who has those consistency questions.
Yeah, and that's a good point with Taylor coming back. I hadn't considered that as far as changing style of offense maybe a little bit here. It's certainly an upgrade from Zach Moss. So, okay, let's get on to Deebo Samuel here. Speaking of decoy games, Deebo Samuel, ECR has him wide receiver 15. You have him wide receiver 20. He had no targets and three carries last week playing through an injury. He did run his normal number of routes, though. But are you worried about another decoy game from Deebo Samuel?
Right now, I don't have any worries right now because I just watched Bryce Stott hit a grand slam. So that's I don't have any worries about anything right now. But yes, as for Deebo, yes, I'm a little worried about him having another decoy game. And frankly, with CMC there, I mean, I think Deebo was one of the most explosive players in all of fantasy before CMC came on the scene. And ever since then, he hasn't quite been the same from a production standpoint. So, and as long as Brandon Ayuk is healthy, we have to worry that Deebo is going to, again, consistency. So that's the thing too. So ECR has him as 15, and you're looking at a guy who has consistency issues, who's not healthy. I just think that ECR 15 is kind of high. So I have him at 20. I feel a lot better about that. So I'm still saying he's starting caliber player. I don't know that we can bank on him producing at the level that we're hoping him to, especially against the Cubs.
I thought you were trailing off and said Bryce Harper hit a grand slam. No, Bryce Stott. I'm not as familiar with him. So, okay. All right. Well, yeah, start Deebo if you need to. But yeah, he's definitely getting squeezed out a little bit here in this passing game. So no targets last week. It's it's hard to recover from that one when you start a guy and he gets no targets. That sticks with you for a little while. So, okay. Yep. Let's get on to Adam Thielen here, Carolina Panthers wide receiver, playing at Detroit this week. ECR has him wide receiver 29. You've got him down at wide receiver 34. Thielen has 25 catches and two touchdowns over the past 3 weeks. He's been pretty legit. It looks like you're a little hesitant to buy in, but do you think this is a trend here? Can we count on Adam Thielen in our lineups going forward?
Maybe. So, I mean, here's the thing. He's had two different quarterbacks, to be fair, over the last 3 weeks. And his best game of them all was with Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton is not the quarterback of the future, and he's not the quarterback of the present, unfortunately, for Adam Thielen. So I still think he's getting enough volume to be relevant. He's definitely has enough volume to be rostered. I think he's, you know, running wide receiver 3 worthy, flex worthy against Detroit. So Detroit's solid defense. I like him as a streaming defense. Would tease that out a little bit later. But I think if Thielen's getting volume, he's a good route runner. He's a solid professional. I think he can turn a healthy target volume into enough production as a high floor player to make it worth your while to put him in your lineup.
Yep, and nobody else has really stepped up there at all in Carolina. Some thought that Hayden Hurst might have a little bit of role. He hasn't done a lot. Some injuries with Mingo, I believe. So, yeah, Thielen has really carved out a role. So, yeah, probably not a huge ceiling, but you should be able to start him this year. So, okay, Tank Dell, Houston Texans wide receiver at Atlanta this week. You are 8 spots lower. You've got him at wide receiver 38. He's shown some big-time flashes. He had a bit of a dud last week. What do you think Tank Dell's range of outcomes is? Is he a boom-bust play? Is there more hope than that? What do you think about Dell with C.J. Stroud slinging the ball pretty well so far?
Yeah, I mean, C.J. Stroud gives reason for optimism for sure, but you also have Robert Woods there who's been quietly getting some volume. He's a nice high-floor player and a steady veteran. I don't think he's going anywhere. You have Nico Collins, who's really taken a step this year in a big way. He's kind of emerging as the alpha, really, in that offense. And also Dalton Schultz, he showed signs of life this past week. So he's going to be a guy that's going to get some of those targets across the middle from time to time. So really what that does is it leaves, I think, Tank Dell becomes a kind of a matchup play. And I think he's shown that he has the ability to put up big games. But there's enough around him, I think, which I never thought I would say going into the season, but there's enough around him from a standpoint that even if CJ Stroud's firing on cylinders, you have to worry about him consistently getting enough targets, at least quality targets, really, to be able to do much with them. So given his diminutive stature, he's probably not going to be a frequent red zone target. Where I would think that Woods and Nico and Schultz would probably be getting more of those red zone looks as well. So unless it's full PPR, I'm kind of hesitant to put Tank Dell in my lineup at all. So, but that's the thing. So I can definitely see myself playing Dell, especially in good matchup situations. But I think we have to kind of pump the brakes a little bit and remember he's a rookie. He's got some veterans and other players around him that offer things that he doesn't. But one thing he does have, though, is that he has his quarterback in his corner. CJ Stroud really likes him a lot. He lobbied for him. He wants him on the team. So he's a guy that's interesting to me no matter what. I just don't know from a consistency standpoint if he's a guy that I'm ready to plug in every week.
Yep. It's early. Atlanta's given up the 6th fewest points to wide receivers so far, and a lot of that's just been on touchdowns. So other than Amon Ross St. Brown and Christian Kirk, there hasn't been a lot of success against them. So, okay. Well, let's get on to our Discord sit start at the wide receiver position. Josh, again, 10-team, half PPR for his wide receiver spot. He's asking, would you start Garrett Wilson or Christian Watson this week?
Garrett Wilson. So, I mean, the semi-resurgence of Zach Wilson has me excited a little bit more for Garrett Wilson. We were writing him off a little bit, but now that Zach Wilson has shown a pulse, I think Garrett Wilson is a fantastic player. And I'm super excited that I can actually put him in my lineup again and not have to really worry as much as I did, you know, a week or two ago. So Watson, I think he's coming off that injury yet. I'm not sure if he's 100% yet. He's still a playable option for me. But if I have to choose between the two of them, I want Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, especially at Denver. It's a good matchup. I think, yeah, the Jets, you want to avoid them against the tough defenses. You'll know them when they go up against them. But they've got something going with some of these other, you know, matchup like Denver. They should be able to eat a little bit here. So I would agree with that. Play Garrett Wilson. Okay, let's quickly get on to quarterback. Benjamin Howler covers our streamers, so check that article out every week if you want a little bit more detail. But let's just go through a couple streaming options under 60% rostered here. We're going to start out with Matthew Stafford, home against the Eagles, 52%. Daniel Jones at Miami, 61%. He's cheating a little bit, but I think a lot of people probably want to know what to do with Daniel Jones in a potential shootout here. And then Sam Howell, home against the Bears, 29% rostered. If you had to pick one of those, what are you thinking here?
I probably would go Howell. He took the Eagles to overtime, led them to team to 30 some points. Now he plays the Bears, who've just been beat up by everyone. As long as McLaurin and Dotson are out there, Curtis Samuel is a little banged up, but if he's able to go and all three of those guys are playing, then I think Howell against the Bears is probably somebody that I'm targeting of those guys. So I think Stafford, I think obviously people are probably going to say, hey, well, why not him? He's got Puka. He's got Tutu Atwell. I think if Cooper Kupp comes back, then I probably want Stafford in there. But I definitely worry about Stafford being able to hold up against that defensive line and that line being able to hold him back, especially if we have those left tackle issues where his top two options at left tackle potentially could miss this game. So that's definitely concerning to me. So I think we might be expecting a little bit too much Stafford this week. I will say CJ Stroud going into this waiver run, haven't seen the numbers today after waivers ran, but he was 47% owned. After four NFL starts, he's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback to date. So if he wasn't claimed and he's still out there, for me, I think Stroud's probably the guy I want up over anybody on this list. But I would say after Stroud, probably Howell and then Stafford. And I kind of like Baker Mayfield as a stash in deep one quarterback leagues. He's been the quarterback 13 so far this season. He's absolutely in play for me as a matchup option. If you have the ability to roster a second quarterback, I could see people cutting him because it is a bye week, but he's played well. And then he finally had a good week from Chris Godwin too this past week. He stepped up when Mike Evans couldn't play. So we'll see. I think if Baker can get Mike Evans back healthy and start clicking with Chris Godwin, then, you know, he could be a nice, interesting streamer down the stretch.
Yeah. I'm still holding out hope on Daniel Jones from a fantasy perspective. Like last week, I started Jared Goff over him, and Goff only scored like two more points than him. I mean, even with that atrocious Jones performance, because he runs the ball. I mean, he's got a 13 carry game, a 9 carry game, and then a 10 carry game last week. So I'm still holding out some hope here on Daniel Jones. If he keeps running like that, he's going to be good for fantasy. We know that. I think on the road, I'm just a little scared by that at Miami. But if they're down, we've seen they're just going to keep feeding him to the Wolves, and he's going to rack up some fantasy points. So I don't know. I haven't quite given up on Daniel Jones yet, but I would expect some better days ahead, at least for fantasy football. I'm not sure about real life, but fantasy
football. Yeah, I mean, it's fair. If he doesn't have anybody to throw to, he's going to have to get yards somehow. He's got to use his legs. That's fair.
So. Yeah, and they're not benching him. He's got a contract, yeah. so he's going to be out there.
That's for sure.
All right, let's get on to tight end. Some more streaming options under 60% rostered. Zach Ertz, home against the Bengals, 41%. He kind of had a little resurgence after a down week. Logan Thomas, home against Chicago, 11%. He seems to be healthy. Jonnu Smith, hilariously, Falcons' best fantasy tight end. That's a whole other story. Home against Houston, 10% rostered. And then I apologize to everyone we told to run out and get Luke Musgrave last week. He got hurt, concussion, but he is playing at Las Vegas, a good matchup if he is healthy. So what do you think about the streaming options this week?
Yeah, I mean, if Musgrave plays, I really like him a lot. Sam LaPorta has been the tight end two this season so far, and Musgrave's been getting volume, and he's been impressive too. I think, the Saints game with the against the Packers-Saints game, Jordan Love just missed Musgrave burning right down the middle of the field and had the pass been a couple yards shorter right in his breadbasket, then Musgrave would have had a very long touchdown, and he'd probably be one of the we'd be talking about him in the same breath as LaPorta, frankly, with that one play and all the yardage and what would have come from that. So, but that is what it is. I think Zach Ertz being the steadiest, seer of targets, if you will. I don't know that he's going to do a whole lot with them in that offense. But you know, volume is king to this position. When we're talking about tight ends not named Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce or T.J. Hockenson. So, Ertz, I think, is interesting to me there. Also, Cole Kmet and Jake Ferguson before this waiver run were right around 50% owned. So they were available in close to half of leagues. So if they're around in your league, I'd go ahead in that direction with one of those two guys, whichever is available, followed by Ertz. And then another guy to think of in addition to who we talked about might be Dalton Schultz. We teased a little bit earlier, but he was a tight end six last week and finally showed a pulse. And as long as C.J. Stroud is firing and there's openings all across the middle, it wouldn't be surprising to see him start to click with Schultz.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't usually draft tight ends early, but I drafted a lot of Mark Andrews this year, and it feels great to just see the rest of the league, you know, dropping David Njoku and picking up Zach Ertz or whatever they're doing. I've got to say, it feels good as an early round tight end drafter. So maybe I need to get used to this because it's rough out there, everyone. I hope you found a tight end by now. It's a lot of four catch for 35 yard games out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's get to some streaming defensive options here. Those under 60% rostered. Got a few choices this week. Denver home against the Jets, Houston at Atlanta, Cincinnati at Arizona, Green Bay at Las Vegas, Indy home against Tennessee, Washington home against Chicago. They're just over the limit, so I think they're probably the best choice, Washington. But what do you think of these defensive options?
Yeah, I picked up Washington in a couple of leagues to against the Bears. Also, like of all those, I would probably say I like probably Washington for sure. I guess Indy, Tennessee. We don't really know what's going on with Tannehill. He just hasn't produced. There's no Treylon Burks there. So that passing game is a mess. The Colts are getting after the quarterback, so they're interesting to me. But I'll give you two other names that aren't on our list here. Miami Dolphins are playing the Giants, who we just discussed. They were 49% on going into this waiver run. The Giants are coming off an abysmal performance on that short week in Monday Night Football. So I think that's an interesting matchup for me. And also Detroit, the Lions against Carolina. Detroit's only 13% owned going this waiver run against Bryce Young, who just clearly didn't have it last week. He's a rookie quarterback making rookie mistakes. And Detroit's a team on fire right now. So I think for me, I think Washington, Miami, Detroit are three that I'm looking at as streaming options.
Yeah, I mean, it's awfully gross to recommend Denver, but I mean, they scored 15 fantasy points against Chicago last week. They're home against the Jets this week. It's, if you had to, I don't think Denver's the worst spot in the world. Hopefully you get a couple Zach Wilson turnovers. So, yeah, but hopefully you got a better option. Like, I picked up Washington home against the Bears as well. I think that was probably the best option on the board this week as far as regular streamers. So, should be a fun Thursday night slop-filled game there with Washington and Chicago. So it should be a lot of fun. All right, Drew, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Hopefully your Phillies hang on to win this one. Any last thoughts before we get out of here for the Week 5 Sit Start podcast?
Yeah, sure. I just want to I'll share some of the bounty from the conversation with Dalton Del Don. I asked him about some players we should sell, players we should buy. So if you're looking to make some moves to kind of shake up your team, some sells that he recommended were Kyren Williams, we talked about earlier. Zach Moss with Jonathan Taylor coming back, obviously. And Derrick Henry also being the age where he's at. and also the high usage from last year's couple of red flags. And that offense in general is uninspiring. So it's quite possible that bust starts to break down sooner rather than later. And for some buys, he did mention Damian Pierce as a guy you can buy pretty cheap right now. Khalil Herbert as a buy. He led the league last year in missed tackles forced. He basically cemented his role for the time being as the lead back this past week for the Bears. Jalen Waddle as well. So Waddle had a little bit of an uninspiring week coming back off that concussion. So he's a guy that he has the ability to provide elite production at wide receiver. You might be able to get him for a lot less right now. So those were some people that he recommended. So just wanted to share the wealth there. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in this week. Be on the lookout for our Sit Start article dropping first as soon as this podcast drops. So we have a great effort by our staff of writers and a great team of editors. So can't wait to see it and see your takes about it. Have a great week.